Well, that was quite the gospel reading. I always wonder if some poor innocent person wandered in here for the first time. They've been to church for the first time in 20 years, and that's what they hear. So I'll be mentioning that gospel, but the thing that really got me, got my attention, was more the Old Testament reading and choices. There's so many choices in our lives. We make them every day. What to wear, what to eat, what to do, where to go, who to go with. Sometimes these choices are easy, about daily matters. Sometimes these are about great matters, life-changing matters. We who live in this country, we have so many options generally, so many choices compared to, say, those who live in Cuba, where I was just visiting, or say the refugee whose life depends on the choices of others. Now, sometimes people will speak from the theological perspective that makes choices seem irrelevant. We hear it all the time still, that God's will determines everything. If something good happens, God did that. If something bad happens, God did that. It's God's will. There's nothing you can do about it. There's so many issues. I could preach an entire sermon on that, right? There's so many issues there. But then there's the other extreme, those who say that, like the deists, that God is the clockmaker, that the world was set up by God like one winds a clock and leaves it to run. We in the Episcopal Church find ourselves in the middle of these two views, or if not in the middle, in a totally different place. We, as the Episcopal Church generally, we believe that God cares about the small details of our lives and the big matters, that God is involved and wants us to turn to God for help, guidance, direction, and trust. Yet at the same time, we believe in free will, that while God can intervene, mostly God relies on us to make the right choices, and that our choices matter. There is grace in such freedom and responsibility, but in it all, God is with us, encouraging us, praying with us, through us. In many ways, you are God's prayer in action. As Paul said, you are God's field, God's building. Paul was cautioning those who were getting too focused on themselves by reminding them that while they may water the plant, God gives the growth. And yet at the same time, even as Paul is correcting those whom he saw as immature, he acknowledges their essential role in God's care for others, for the world. Because we are essential, the choices we make are important. As Moses advised the people who would enter the promised land, they would prosper when they chose God and the things of God. But to choose and serve lesser gods and to bow down to those lesser gods, that would lead to death. Moses is in a sense giving his last sermon to his people, for he would soon die. He would not, as we know, enter the promised land with them. He's been preaching to them for many chapters here in Deuteronomy. His words are of great importance. This is his final gift to God, actually, to speak to them. His final gift to God and to them. And what does he say? Choose life. This farewell address, as I mentioned, has lasted for 26 chapters. Moses has been reminding them of what they've gone through, the slavery in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, wandering in the wilderness. And as they come to the edge of the promised land, Moses says, choose. You're going to have to choose. It's not going to be all worked out. You're going to have to choose between life and prosperity and death and adversity. So what does it mean to choose life and prosperity? According to Moses, and we hear this before we get to today's reading, it means to love God with heart, mind, and soul. And Moses says that a good life includes some specific things like canceling the debts of the poor, pushing government to guard against excessive wealth, limiting punishment to protect human dignity, restricting those who could be drafted, offering hospitality to runaway slaves, paying employees fairly, leaving part of the harvest for those who need it. In what we read today, we hear Moses coming to the conclusion of this powerful sermon. Listen to what I have said today. I have laid it out for you, life and death, good and evil. Love God, walk in God's ways, keep the commandments so that you will live, truly live, passionately, joyfully, blessed by God. I warn you, if you have a change of heart, refuse to listen, and serve little gods, you will die. It is your choice, life or death, blessings or curses. This is a paraphrase by Brett Younger, one who comments on this passage. He goes on to say, and I think this is so true, the choices are not usually labeled life and death. Most of our choices do not seem that important, but life and death are before us every day. We choose death when we ignore God and choose anything inferior. Death is a slow process of giving ourselves to what does not matter. Modern life is impoverished with a lack of purpose. We rush to meet deadlines that are insignificant and bow before ideas that are not worthy. So what does it mean for you to choose God, to choose life? There are going to be details and specifics that are very particular for each of us. Sometimes it's clear when we help somebody, when we choose the right thing, even if it's not the best thing for us. Other times it's less clear, and we need help making choices, and it's good to acknowledge that and to seek some help, because in those moments we're calling it a process of discernment, right? You're discerning what to do next about a job or your call in life, or about plans to move or retire or start a new project, perhaps join a new ministry here at Holy Comforter. It can be anything, anything. I think in our society sometimes we've been taught that we should just know what's right, but that can cause us to move too quickly to a conclusion. To give ourselves time and space for discernment is a valid thing. It's a good idea. When you're doing that, notice what gives you energy when you think about it and what drains your energy. Notice what speaks to you of life rather than death. Talk with those trusted people, as discernment happens best often in community. As well, open yourself to God in prayer. Have those moments of quiet and trust. As I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon, we probably cannot conclude our reflection today without considering that our reading from Matthew features Jesus calling on his friends and followers to move beyond the letter of the law. It's interesting how this is paired with Moses, you know, obey the commandments. Jesus is saying, you got to do a little more than that. Because there's the letter of the law, and then there's the heart of the matter. To what is their heart seek? What is it seeking? Where is it? Where is our heart when it comes to making choices? For Jesus is looking around and he sees many people who are following the commandments in a legalistic sense, but who seem far from God in their treatment of others. And you know what that's like, what it looks like, what it feels like. Sometimes we've been, in a sense, the victims of that, right? That's just how it is. That's the law. That's the system. And sometimes maybe we've wanted to have the answer be so clear and have a clear path, but we knew actually to do justice and love God and walk humbly with God, we had to veer off that path. Jesus wants his friends then and now to make choices that help us know God better and to live in a way that we make God known. Our whole lives are about this, growing in our love of God. Choices play into that every day. We're always choosing, right? Even when it might not look like it. For example, when we're with those people, when we stay with those people or situations to whom we are committed, it is actually a choice, daily, a choice. I value the perspective so much of the 12-step groups, of those who know they are in recovery. One of their phrases often used, one day at a time, one day at a time. In a sense, I always feel that everyone's in recovery. Many of us may not know that or think of it that way, but in recovery from needing to control, and taking it one day at a time is the only way to do it, one choice at a time. Because sometimes we may have done this or we've seen it done, sometimes we make choices just to show ourselves that we are in control. Then there are those situations where we have no control and we know it, where we feel our choices or they are actually limited. That can happen at any time in life because of changing circumstances, financial, health. It can happen at any time. But certainly as we get older, our choices narrow, and that can be frightening or disorienting. But in the end, all of life is learning to let go and to trust God. If you're feeling out of touch with God, or when you do, because I think we all do, either because of a crisis or just a drifting from a sense of God, when this happens, remember a time when you had that sense of God, when you felt close to God, to God's love. Be with that. Pray about it. It's sacramental. And then do those things that help enliven that, make it even more real, such as sitting in silence and listening to God, coming to church, singing a song, a hymn, reading the Bible, being with trusted friends who care about you. In the end, there will be no more choices for us. And that is true for everyone. When we will finally rest secure in God's embrace, knowing that we are without a doubt being embraced by God. Because at the end of the day, God has made the choice. God has chosen. God has chosen you. God has chosen me. God has chosen us for all of time, for all of eternity. Amen.